You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of April, the final night of the NBA regular season. The Jazz with a chance to win the division and be the third seed. We'll talk about the dismantling of the disinterested Warriors. We'll look ahead to this matchup with the Portland Trailblazers and an NBA 5, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz. It is your daily podcast on the red hot Utah Jazz, an incredible basketball team with insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains. What an absolutely incredible season for the Utah Jazz. 48-33, looking for win number 49, looking for the third seed, looking for the Northwest Division champ for the second straight season in a division that's loaded. Wow. It's just awesome. Absolutely incredible. Just been so fun to deal with. Show today brought to you by The Store, Mizuma USA, and Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. All right, let's get to last night's game. Then we'll preview Portland. And then we'll I'll have a thought on some of the Donovan Mitchell-Ben Simmons stuff. And then we'll look at kind of the impact of games that are taking place tonight. The Warriors clearly, I think they've got some issues. And they're not right without Steph. And they certainly didn't want to be there. And Klay Thompson had agendas other than winning the game. So that was clear, but that was only clear after the Jazz blasted them. So they were there for the taking. They were ripe for being beat. But you have to make it so uncomfortable for them, so uninteresting, so difficult that they disengage and get uninterested. And that's what the Jazz did. I mean, they beat him by 40, largest deficit loss in the Steve Kerr era. And, you know, there was a moment in the first quarter where, to me, it was very evident that Kevin Durant and Draymond Green were embarrassed. And that, you know, they're world champs. You don't just go humiliate them and not have them fight back. Then when they fought back, they didn't get anywhere. And that's when, you know, that's when they really kind of rolled over. But it's not totally self-inflicted by the Warriors. That's the Jazz putting it on them. And it was interesting talking to Warrior people, the amount of respect they have toward this Jazz team. I mean, this 29 of the last 34 run that the Jazz are on, everyone in the league sees it. And talking to the Warrior personnel, it's a difficult team to play. And we've talked about this a lot, that the Jazz are the third best team in offense in the fourth quarter, third best defensive team in the fourth quarter, second best fourth quarter team overall. Okay, we're probably not that good, right? We're good, but we're probably not second best team in the NBA good. We're 14th best in first quarters, second best in second quarters, 17th in first quarters, second best in fourth quarters. So why? Well, the comment talking to some of the people on the Warriors side is that because we run more picks, more dribble handoffs, throw as many passes as anyone in the league almost, we wear you out. That you have to be incredibly physical with the Jazz defensively, or else the rhythm of the offense kicks in. Now you're just in that blender that Quinn talks about. You're being run around all day long in getting hit by pick after pick after pick. On a given night, the Jazz average, they run 32 handoffs a game. That's the fourth most of anyone in the league. They will set 95 picks a game. The next closest in the league is 85. So it's not just that the Jazz are running more picks than anyone else. It's that they're running over 13% more picks than anyone else. So the Jazz run 95 picks a game. I told you geeky numbers. I told you we'd give this to you. Toronto, 85. Atlanta, 85. Houston, 84. Dallas, 83. Jazz at 95. It's not even close. So you're getting 95 picks a game and 32 handoffs a game if you play the Utah Jazz. Okay, that's 127 different actions a night. The top handoff teams are Detroit, Philadelphia, Miami, Chicago, Denver. So the top six are Detroit, Philly. Remember these names because you're going to have to help me out here. Detroit, Philly, Miami, Chicago, Denver. The top passing teams that we just talked about, the top picking teams that we just talked about, now I won't remember, so you better be remembering, are Toronto, Atlanta, Houston, Dallas. None of them are the same. Unless Dallas was. No, none of them are the same. So now, it's not only that the Jazz are top five handoff and that the Jazz are top five picks, but nobody else in the league is. So 127 different actions of exchanges a night by the Jazz. And then couple that with the amount of passes, right? So now, even when we're not doing that, we're moving the basketball. We throw 341 passes a night, which is the fourth most amount of passes of any team in the league. Philadelphia, Memphis, Atlanta ahead of us. So when you come in like the Warriors, somewhat disengaged, that's no fun. Couple that with who we have defensively, it's really no fun. It's really absolutely no fun at all. And that's a huge part of who the Jazz are. And I don't know how that's going to translate over the playoffs. Do they get used to it? Does it wear them out all the more? I'm not sure. Last year, the Clippers and the Jazz played an incredible series, and I think to some extent it wore the Clippers out. I thought teams in the playoffs last year who came at you from one direction the whole time struggled. Defensively, by the way, with last night's dominating performance, which at times was ridiculous, the Utah Jazz have moved in to the number one defensive team in the league. Now, to be a little bit of a homer on the Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder coach of the year thing, worth noting that at this point now, the Jazz have a better both offense and a better defense than the Boston Celtics. They split their season series. Just think that's interesting. The Jazz now have a better offense and a better defense than the Boston Celtics. From last night's game, the other one I thought was really interesting was I thought it's always interesting to watch good defensive teams come out of a game plan, well prepared, and go at guys. It was clear to me they had a plan on Donovan. Klay Thompson, who's thought of as a very, very good defensive player, was getting onto his hip on the forcing him into a low dribble right hand, driving him into the middle of the lane, and he hit that little floater twice and then made another one to the layup and then hit a bunch of shots and suddenly ended up with 12 first quarter points and just handled that game plan perfectly. Now, the other thing last night was Rudy was being Rudy and they didn't want any part of it. The other aspect we talked about when the year started that I think we've talked about less and less as the year's gone on is depth. You know, the question when the year started that we asked time and time again was if you have a great defensive team and an average offensive team, how does that compare to a very good offensive team and a not very good defensive team? The flip. And then the question was, what's the value of depth? Minnesota is fifth offensively, 23rd defensively, so they're the ninth best net average team. We're the 15th ranked offensive team and the number one defensive team. The Denver Nuggets, who was the other comparison, are the sixth best offensive team and 26th defensively. They're 15th in the league. Minnesota's had a better year than Denver. I kind of hope they win tonight. And it doesn't impact us anymore. So other than, if we win tonight, we are into the Warriors side of the bracket. If we lose tonight, we're into the Rockets side of the bracket. And no matter what happens, if Oklahoma City beats Memphis, which we'll know by the time we tip off, we're playing the Thunder and have to go spend time in Oklahoma City and play Russell Westbrook. Watching Russell Westbrook for seven straight days could be really awesome, or seven straight games. It would be a tussle. I'll talk about it a little bit. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I mean, there's no need to delve into it today. Today's show is brought to you by Devin Cash. Devin Cash has been the realtor of the Locked On podcast, Locked On Jazz podcast. It's really been a cool relationship that we have. He came to us, one of our probably original sponsors that we ever had. Approaches real estate from the heart of a teacher, great with first-time buyers. And my favorite part about Devin and everything that's happened with him is when I get the emails from Locked On Jazz listeners. That I got one from Richard Molham. It's long. I don't want to take all of it. But he says, I've been a Locked On listener. Last May in 2017, my wife and I were living in a condo that I had owned before getting married, which we had for just over a year. My wife did not like living in a multifamily setting. So, given our financial picture, I didn't think we had enough equity to make that possible. However, after listening to many of your positive reviews coming to the podcast about Devin, I decided to let him do a market analysis for us. An initial phone call, I was pretty skeptical that he'd be able to help us. But it was nice to talk some real estate, Jazz basketball at the same time. And after a few days, he completed our market analysis, came in at 8% higher than I anticipated, giving us enough equity to make the move. He was upfront with us that if we made the move, we'd have to pay some long-term capital gains, which we discussed. He broke down the whole thing for us. And during the process, searching out Devin lived up to all the hype I'd heard about. He was extremely personal, responsive, and never felt that we were rushed in any way. Devin. And then the guy added, by the way, because we live 30 miles away from Vivint, we asked Devin if we'd get a TV for our gift instead of Jazz season tickets. He bought us a brand new 55-inch Vizio TV with a soundbar that goes perfectly in our house. That is what makes Devin Cash, Equity Real Estate, the realtor of the Locked On Jazz Show. We love Devin for that. You can give Devin a call and reach Devin at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. Speaking of Devin, if you have 1 to 5 employees, like Devin might as a real estate agent, you're not using Mazooma, you're losing money and clarity. It's April 15th. It's 4 days away. We all know you hate doing books. 12 months of information trying to find it. Well, here's how Mazooma works. For $75 a month, less when you use the Locked podcast, Locked On Jazz discount, promo code LOCKED, you get bookkeeping, reports, unlimited consultation with a CPA, personal and business tax returns. It's pretty interesting how, so you sign up, orientation call with a bookkeeper and a CPA. They give you your first set of reports immediately once they've hooked in. Tax planning discussions then happen immediately. Every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. And at the end of the year, you get all of your work done for your personal and tax returns. It makes this time of year a million times easier. No concert. You don't get to go to a rock concert. You get no contract. You can cancel at any time, and there's no hidden fees. It's Mazooma USA. Use the promo code LOCKED. You can use it outside the state of Utah. Somebody was asking me the other day. Yes, you can. 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. They'll give you a free consultation, if nothing else, to show you how they could help you through this time next year. That's 801-980-2102. 801-980-2102, MazoomaUSA.com. All right, huge one tonight. It's huge one because home court advantage means everything. Kevin Pelton basically was laying out to me that you just pick a series, Jazz Thunder. He's like, I just pick it based on who's got home court. So that's how big tonight is. I mean, tonight might be the reason you win the first round playoff series. So it's a mammoth game. The other thing, the idea that you could win the division and be the and get home court just on this season is remarkable. The fact we got on a plane last night with a chance to go win the Northwest Division, to me, it's just an incredible, incredible testament to who this team is and what they've done. Let's talk about Portland. The first thing that's unique to Portland is that Portland drops Nurkic back. They switch much less than everyone else. The Jazz have really become very good at attacking switching teams. And in the matchup so far this year, so Portland's defensive philosophy is Nurkic is just going to drop back. You're going to have to work in the mid-range. And they're going to protect the paint as well as anyone in the league. In fact, Portland's defensive shooting errors, and this might be off by a day or two. I'm not sure that it's been completely updated. They're the number one team in the league defending the restricted area at 55%. They're actually 28th in the paint non-restricted at 43 because they're giving you that shot. They're 28th in the league defending the mid-range because they're giving you that shot. They're the 23rd ranked team in defending the corner three and the 20th ranked team on the three. Their whole defense is predicated on keeping you out of the rim. 13th best team at denying shots at the rim and number one team in field goal percentage there. It's impressive. They have the best paint defense defensively in the league as well. Is that right? No, that's not. Yeah. At 51% is all anyone shoots in the paint against Portland. So best defensive percentage of anyone in the league defending the paint. Then they're the third best team in the league at not allowing you to take threes. So that's this is really two money ball defenses going head to head. They're the second best team in the league in denying the corner three. The Jazz have been taking about 12 corner threes a game. And they're the fifth best team in the league at denying shots in the 3-point area and in the paint, in the restricted area, excuse me. The Jazz are the second best. So very similar kind of defensive style. So they're dropping the big, same way we drop Gobert. It's Nurkic. They're defending the rim better than anyone in the league. And then they're denying the threes. Portland's the third best team in the league denying threes. Jazz are the sixth best. It's almost immaterial. It's 31% on each side. Both teams allow just 6% of those shots to be corner threes. And then defensively, the Jazz are the fifth best team at denying around the paint. Portland is 13th. So the Jazz will, Gobert's impact is less shots are taken in the restricted area. When they're actually taken, they're pretty good. They're all right. They're 12th. So that's what Portland does to you defensively. It's worth, let's take a look. It's going to take me a second to find this. But let me see. I can pull up because I have this. Because I built this master. Jazz shooting areas game by game. So let's pull up. The first time we played Portland, we went 11 of 24 in the restricted area, 5 of 14 in the non-paint, shot the mid-range shot terribly, 22%, hit the above the break 3, 10 of 24. But they 11 of 24 in the restricted area, 45%, one of the worst shooting outings of the year for us. In the restricted area. The next time we played Portland was not until right before All-Star break, if I remember correctly, on the 11th of February. We got 18 of 34 in the paint, still only shot 53%, but got 34 shots. Shot that non-paint shot poorly, which they usually allow at 27%. Went 6 of 13 in the mid-range, only got 5 corner threes, and went 9 of 21 on the above the break three. We got 5 corner threes in the second matchup. In the first matchup, we only got 5 corner threes. It's be worth watching tonight. The Jazz, in the matchup on February 23rd, where they beat the Jazz, we only got 4 corner threes, didn't make one, and only got 20 shots in the restricted area. So that's really them going to work. We went 6 of 21 on threes from above the break and 0 of 4 on the others. And then in the final matchup where the Jazz blasted, that would be our three matchups. So tonight's the fourth. So in the three matchups, the Jazz have only got 5 corner, taking 14 corner threes in 3 games. They've taken 20 shots in the restricted area in 1 game, 34 in the other, which was the win, and in the early season loss, only 24. So that's a huge part of the game Contrast that to, like, the game against the Lakers the other night. The Jazz get 34, 31, Lakers 34. A lot of shots. The Jazz have been, in the corner three, the Jazz have been just killing people. The Jazz have been throwing out probably 10, 11 corner threes a game recently. So that's the defensive approach of what the Blazers are bringing at you, and we'll see whether the Jazz can tack it. Now, offensively, you're obviously dealing with Lillard and McCollum. What's interesting is CJ's scuffling a little bit. Actually, both of them are shooting the 29% from three recently, and Al-Farouq Aminu is at 20% from three. So they're not playing. They let go of the rope a little bit. Either, I would guess, kind of as I felt about everybody, out of exhaustion more than anything else. That's, they were playing so well, had that win streak going, separated themselves, clearly had the three seed seemingly all wrapped up. All they needed was kind of one more game. And then my guess is that they kind of let go for a second. And now suddenly have lost four of their last five and six of their last 10. Before that, they were playing pretty darn well. And it's the consistency of defense that we just talked about. And what that defense is just the key to defense we've talked about all year with the Jazz is that numbers game. They're the ninth best defense overall. In the last five games, they just haven't made shots. They're 25th in the league in offense, 27th in shooting. They've not been a great shooting team all year, though. If you kind of look at their 10-game stretches, they got hot for a little while in the middle of the year. But other than that, they've been in the 20s shooting all year long, and that's why the offense has generally been there. The last 20 games, they're 13th in the league offensively, 7th in the league defensively, 7th overall. Number one defensive rebounding team in the league as well, which is part of the reason they don't give up those restricted area shots, and it's also something we usually get off people. That makes this matchup really quite interesting. They've been the number one defensive rebounding team over the last 20 games. Any other interesting note on them? I mean, I think they're below 500 against above 500 teams this year. They're good early. They're the 8th best team in the league in first quarters, then 5th, 16th in second quarters, 11th in third quarters, and 18th in third quarters. The Mo Harkless injury matters to them. Not having Mo Harkless hurts them, and Ed Davis didn't seem quite right in their Denver game, and I think that hurts them as well. All right, quick thought coming up on Oklahoma City. And then where the rest of the NBA stands tonight on NBA 5 before we wrap this one up. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store, 6200 South, 20th East. I got a nice email from a guy who came in from out of town and drove one out of their way to the store. It was totally worth it. We are going to have the Locked On listener store card coming up for you as well here very soon. I have to choose 5 items that are the best ones for me. If anyone have any suggestions what they want on their store frequent diner card, obviously we're going to put in the Mudslide cookie, maybe the June pies. I'm a big fan of the barbecue chicken in the back and also the sushi. That would be on my list. The fresh squeezed orange juice is one of my favorite. I've become a kombucha drinker, so they have a great kombucha area, and they have their draft kombucha that's quite good. What else? I like sugar, so their pole candies they have, it's just great. The store is a wonderful spot. The best way I can describe is when I went there with a friend. It's got this local grocery store feel, with at the same time having high end, great variety, and then the homemade touch. And that is the essence of the store. Next door, by the way, is Cottonwood Ace with the Traeger, huge Traeger setup if you're getting ready to do the barbecue setup this year. It's all at the store, 6200 South, 20th East. Mudslide cookies every day is the slogan. Go check out the Mudslide cookie. The Holland mints and the sea salt dark caramel are incredible. The June pies are great. The quiche is one of my wife's favorite. Very fun special, great store to add to your list of places. Trust me. Go out of your way. Check it out. 61 South, 20th East. All right, so the league really screwed up yesterday. I'm bitter about it because it cost me 2 hours of my day in a time period when I don't have 2 hours and led me to an embarrassing 2 hours where I thought I had made a pretty colossal mistake. Pretty insane that the league doesn't know their own tiebreaker systems. So I published the whole tiebreaker system at Locked On Jazz, and the league came out at 12:45, and I think we should have a discussion as well about whether or not the why they're putting out at 12:45. That makes little to no sense as well. Why they can't update their playoff picture on their media site past April 9th. On April 11th is another discussion. I mean, just brutal. Honestly, just brutal that the league sent out an entire breakdown of the playoffs and was wrong yesterday. That is insane to me. They then had to send out a correction and try to fix it. So here's where we sit now. If the Jazz win tonight, they are guaranteed the third seed. If the Jazz win tonight, Portland can go no longer, with the Jazz win last night, Portland goes no longer lower than fifth. The only scenario Portland gets into fifth is if Memphis beats Oklahoma City, then San Antonio wins a tiebreaker, and if Memphis, so then San Antonio bumps them twice. So really, for all intents and purposes, Portland is going to be fourth because of their 4-0 stretch against the Oklahoma City Thunder and their tiebreakers. So the Jazz, if they win, are three. Portland is four. However, if Portland wins tonight, the Jazz can most likely slide to five, will slide to five unless Memphis beats Oklahoma City. New Orleans wins tonight. They move to six. Almost every circumstance, excuse me, they move to five unless we lose let me make sure I have this right. Portland goes to three. We go to five. New Orleans goes to five if Memphis wins. That's not going to happen. So New Orleans, San Antonio at this point are really playing for six, the sixth seed, to not have to play the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round. Memphis is the wild card here that they win, but I think it's pretty clear Memphis doesn't win. If Denver wins and Oklahoma's, if Denver wins and New Orleans wins, Denver's seven in most circumstances. It's not actually even that clear. Denver and Minnesota are playing for the playoffs tonight. That's the most awesome part about it. Okay, that we can actually make some sense out of. So Denver, Minnesota to get in. New Orleans, San Antonio to some extent for the sixth seed. There's some minor ways in which New Orleans gets the fifth seed. Almost all of them include... there's one other way that New Orleans gets the fifth seed and San Antonio gets the fifth seed. So, never mind. Nothing's even that clear. It's just a mess. In the East, Philadelphia plays tonight. If they beat Milwaukee, Philadelphia is the three seed. If they lose tonight and Cleveland beats New York, Cleveland's the three seed. The 6, 7, 8 seeds, Washington won last night. Toronto plays at Miami tonight. Miami, Milwaukee hosts kind of the lead on all these tiebreakers. If Milwaukee wins tonight, they're the sixth seed. Then if Miami wins, oh no, that doesn't work because if Washington somehow loses to Orlando, then Miami jumps Milwaukee. There are so many tiebreakers involved in all this. It's so fun. But basically, Milwaukee's the lead chances for the sixth seed. Miami's the lead chance for the seventh, and Washington's lead chance for the eighth seed, unless something strange happens. If Toronto beats Miami, Washington beats Orlando, and Philadelphia beats Milwaukee, which Philadelphia needs to beat Milwaukee tonight to be able to, then Washington jumps all the way to the sixth seed. That's not an outlandish concept. Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Philadelphia is a battle tonight. Milwaukee could get as high as six, Philadelphia could get as high as three, and then they go play each other in the playoffs. That makes things interesting. That is Locked On Jazz today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Appreciate it very much, and have fun tonight. This is going to be awesome. For the division title, for a home seat, for a Saturday or Sunday game in Salt Lake City, for game one against the Thunder, it's the Jazz and the Blazers tonight. We'll be with you on the floor. We'll come your direction around 7:30. I think we tip off at 8:30. Stay up. Let the kids stay up. Have a great one. See ya. And remember, get all your news at LockedOnJazz.net.